Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Hope you're well, and welcome to Monday. It is, what day? It's the 11th of January. I hope you're well. Hope you had a great weekend, and I'm wearing a woolly hat this morning because it is so cold down the cabin this morning. I've got a coffee, warm hands. I've been down here for about an hour hoping that the heater kicks in, but it is definitely something that I need to address before the next winter. I quite fancy getting one of those wood-burning stoves in here. But I'm always, because it's obviously completely made out of wood, I'm always one of these people that worries about, like, my electric heater has got a timer on it. I can set the time on it to come on for, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. But I've just got this thing, it's like an OCD thing, that I worry that something's going to go wrong and it's going to burn the thing down. It's just always a concern, isn't it? And a wood burning stove would be the same. I've got another project, which I say another project. It's really, I would love it if I could get anywhere close to doing it this year. But I've got another cabin that's got to be built on the other side of the land, which is more of an L-shaped, which is going to incorporate it's going to be like a bar with pool table in, because I want to recreate this like a bar, summer bar, but I can use it in the winter as well, because I've kind of got nowhere to smoke a cigar in the winter, and it's just too cold and just isn't enjoyable. So kind of like a cigar lounge, bar, pool table, that kind of thing. But it's like L-shaped, that the other section of it would be like a living accommodation, etc. You know, like a bedroom, sort of kitchenette kind of thing as well. Anyway, there's like literally about as much chance of that happening this year as Liverpool retaining their Premier League. No, I joke. Anyway. So it's freezing cold. We're going to go into double figures tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to that. I said this morning to Mrs. E, I said, I can't wait for the summer. And she just laughs. She says, you know what? You say that every single year. And then when it gets to summer, you moan because it's too hot. It's what we do, isn't it? I think it's an English thing, just moaning about weather. But it is cold. There's two things I need to address for the cabin. There's three things, actually. One is, when the weather does heat up, then I do need to start actively thinking about what my heating system is going to be for next winter. And whether that is just a more updated, like, electric panel heater that is generally going to be safe, or I put a wood burner in here, which probably isn't as safe, or some other kind of heating system. So it heats up, it actually retains the heat really well. So I've got no issues with the insulation. It's just that initial, like, you know, getting the heat into the place. The second thing which I can do as soon as it starts warming up is the air conditioning for this, because it literally, we are, as I'm facing now out through the doors, the sun comes around. I don't know what they call it. Like, what is it? South-facing gardens? What? I don't know. But literally, the side of our property and the land, I can't call it a garden because it really isn't a garden, is like over that side, is in the sun literally for the entire day. So anything over that side cooks, and this cabin's no different. It literally is baking hot in the summer, and I've not done a summer down here in the cabin, so I do need to get an aircon. I've got a portable aircon unit, so I'd literally just need to cut a hole through the wall that can kind of house the extraction pipe. But in the winter, that extraction pipe, actually, is that a heater as well? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I might have to check that. But the extraction port needs to be shut down in the winter so it doesn't let any cold in. So there is that. And then the third thing is the decor. It's so bland. Look behind me. There's nothing. And a couple of people have spotted this and said, geez, when are you going to get like stuff up? I am going to get stuff up. But first and foremost, I need to do a home networking system, which I've spoken about before, to get all of the internet hardwired in back down to RJ45 sockets. That's a big, it's a medium-sized project, which I need to get the cables run down to here. And secondly, I'll be building like floating shelves in here. The problem with that, or the challenge is that, is of course, it's a COVID thing, isn't it? Because if you're into woodworking or any kind of wood, like MDF wood, which I would typically use for floating shelves, is like nigh on existent because obviously the sawmills are also closing down because of the whole COVID thing. So it kind of has a knock-on effect. It's like it's a nightmare trying to get hold of the wood. I did manage to get hold of some, I think it was 10 millimeter MDF. So I've got a large stack of it, but it's just too cold to get it out and start sawing it up, etc. So I'm going to probably use, I would normally probably go for something like 12 mil MDF. 15, you generally use 15, anywhere between 15 and 18 millimeter for like wardrobes and cabinets and that kind of thing. 22 mil is just, you know, ridiculously heavy. But so I've got the Temmel stuff. I can, it's just too cold to get out there and cut the sheets. So I've got that to go. And then I've got additional lighting to go in, like wall lighting. And then I can put the Philips Hue lights in so I can, you know, dim them down and make it more atmospheric. So yeah, that's got to go in. And then I want to get some sort of, at the moment it's like, it's the flooring is just kind of like the it's like a softwood flooring, you know, just like the pine tongue and groove flooring. But I just want to stick like some form of matting down and then possibly overlay it with some flooring on top, possibly. I don't know. So much to do. I would say not enough time to do it, but you know, we've all got loads of time, haven't we? But that's the thing, isn't it? This is one of the interesting things. I was watching a video. I was watching a Netflix thing over the weekend about minimalism. It's called Less. Is it Less is More or Less is Now? Something like that. It's a new one. It's by the Minimalists. It's really interesting, even if you're not into it, because what they're saying is, you know, there's this concept that minimalists basically have to get rid of everything and, you know, have like one set of clothes, one set of shoes, and literally, you know, just, you know, one thing, you know, and it's not that at all. It's about, you know, having stuff that you absolutely use and is vital, and anything else you can get rid of. And I found it really interesting because the reason I find it interesting because it locks into a belief that I have, which, and I'm not sure if I spoke about this, whether it's on a video or on a podcast, but I was watching the singer-songwriter Mike Posner, whatever. He did the song I Took a Pill in Ibiza. Well, he's on, you can find it on YouTube, he did an acoustic version and his dad died, which was obviously sad. But what he was saying was he then went on this journey across America, this like walking. But he was saying, you know, that these tech companies are just continually producing stuff and bombarding us continually. And, you know, whether it's intentional or not, I don't know. But it kind of, they're trying to make you forget that at some point we're all going to die. So we're all so consumed with this thought process of like, it's like, you know, the latest iPhone comes out. You know, and I'm no different. I'm like, ooh, okay, what's the, you know, and it's, I wasn't this time around. I'm really pleased to say that when the 12 came out, I wasn't interested in any way, shape or form because I just failed to see how they could actually continually improve it. Now, if you are a power user of these devices, I think there are gains to be had, you know, the different chipsets, you know, the actual, and when I mean a power user, somebody that has, you know, business driven needs that everything hooks in and it's an absolute vital tool. You know, and I have worked in infrastructures in the financial services world where, you know, tech played a key role in keeping everything right. That was before smartphones, of course. So I think the most up-to-date thing we had was like a Palm Pilot or something like that. But you know, the and my daughter said to me at the weekend, she went, oh yeah, but oh my God, we were talking about Samsung and versus Apple, and she was saying, oh yeah, but you know, the camera on the new iPhone 12, oh my God. And I was sort of saying, well, actually, if you look at the specs, it's not that much different than the 11. It's, you know, yes, there's probably a little bit more, I think it goes down to a lower f-stop on the nighttime mode. I could be wrong, I'm not talking, but there wasn't any significant differences. And the point I was making to her was, you know, give me an old iPhone 6 and send me out in the field versus someone with an iPhone 12, and I would state my claim that I would be able to take a better photograph with older equipment. And that's a whole nother topic. You know, it's the, you know, the best camera is the one that's in your pocket. You know, it's, but a lot of people, you know, get all hyped and kind of, and this coming back to this minimalist program, they were saying that they're, you know, both social media and tech companies are creating this world in which they are forcing you to make decisions before you think. Okay, and that's key. It's seriously, go check it out. It's, if you're on Netflix, really, really interesting. It's I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and you know, it certainly locks into what my thinking is, and this, it brings me on to like trading education. You know, it's, you know, most people that watch my videos know that I'm not a big fanboy of trading education and the sector. You know, it's like, I'm not a big fan of it, never have been. So it's not a new thing. It's not a, you know, it's, I've often said, you know, it's, you know, the trading education sector to me personally is almost like a bit of kryptonite. You know, it kind of, it empowers you, you know, and you have this platform which you can talk to and for which I'm eternally grateful for. Yet, it's also sometimes feels like a piece of kryptonite around you, that it kind of, you know, when you have people coming at you and saying, right, I've done this, but it doesn't work, or, you know, this is shit and that doesn't work and that's bollocks and all the rest of it, it kind of starts to bog everything down. And then you get the other trading educators that kind of like, you know, weigh in and like, oh, you know, they're doing this and that's crap, and don't trade on the 5-minute time frame and do this, do that and do the other. And none of it's right and none of it's wrong. You know, this is the whole mantra that I've always had is, you know, there's no such thing as anything that's right or anything that's wrong in trading. It's, you know, my job, as I see it, if you like, if there is a job, or my role in trading education, is to boot the information up into the air and you then pick and choose which bits you pluck out of that air. You know, it's like, you know, like, so for instance, we were talking about, you know, last year we were talking about, you know, when you're looking to enter a trade, you know, not necessarily look for where you're entering, but look, where's your stop going to be? Where has it got a spike high or a spike low where you can have a definitive place to put your stop? You know, that might be a piece of information that somebody picks up and goes, actually, that's brilliant, I'll have that, thank you very much. But they might say, actually, I don't know, like, you know, splitting the trade into half, you know, so you close out half, and someone might go, actually, that's not for me. It just doesn't, my mindset just can't deal with that. You know, just because I do it doesn't mean to say it's right or wrong for anyone else. It's just that, you know, I boot that information up in the air, and how someone, you know, chooses to collect and utilize that information is down to yourselves. So, you know, it's, and this is one thing I do like about photographers and the photography education sector, is that, you know, generally when you are listening to a photographer, they don't say, right, what you need to do is this, you know, this ISO number, this exposure, this aperture. You know, they say, what I would do is have this set at, you know, F11, you know, like, for example, we were talking about moonshots last week. You know, what I would do is, you know, have probably start with an f-stop at F11. I would have my ISO down at 100, and I'd have it at, say, you know, 1/100th of a second, or maybe 1/125th of a second. Those would be my start points. I would take a couple of shots, and then I would start to adjust accordingly. What I wouldn't do is come on a video and say, right, what you've got to do is da da da. Yeah, and that's why it becomes the starting point. Okay, and this, I think there's too much of it on the internet. It doesn't matter whether it's trading, whether it's fitness. It doesn't matter whether it's I don't know what it is, building a business or building a YouTube channel. Everyone's like, do this, do that, do the other. You know, it's like, you've got to have social media, you've got to be on Facebook, you've got to be actively posting like a million times a day. And it's, well, what the fuck's wrong with people? It's like, you know, just be the best version of you. You know, it's no good. I want to be fit. I've been like insanely fit in my time from my days in the military, doing all my bike ride stuff, etc. So when I watch a video, I still have an active interest in, eating well and getting fit, neither of which I do particularly well at this point in time. But it's still an active interest. So when the time is right, probably when the sun comes out, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be thinking, right, I want to get on my bike. So before I do that, I need to drop like probably about 10 pounds. Then I'm at a comfortable cycling weight. Then I can start getting on my bike and then I can start, getting fit, eating healthy, etc. I got onto YouTube and it's like, I'm some sort of fat bastard because it's like, get off your fat, lazy ass, get out there now. It doesn't matter. It's cold and all the rest of it. What they don't realize is that I do get really, really cold. I do live with chronic fatigue. I do, have other commitment. I can't, just because you can't do X, Y, and Z doesn't make you, fat and lazy and all the rest of it. It just means that the way that they do things is not suited to how you do things. And the thing is, I might pull one thing out of that and go, yay, I'll take that. Thank you very much. For instance, if I wanted to learn how to daily vlog, for example, say, for instance, like my personal life or whatever, I would go out onto YouTube and go, right, who's the daily vloggers? And it might be some, spotty 16-year-old kid who's seriously effective at doing it. What can they teach me about vlogging? Probably a great deal, in terms of the way they do it, the way they wear we do it. The thing with these videos is you've got to kind of scratch beneath the surface in terms of, how, whys, and wherefores, because it's like the clues are in what you don't see. It's some of these people are, brilliant at what they do. They go out, they go vlogging and all the rest of it, and they sit there and tell you, you've got a vlog and all the rest of it, da da da. Right, that's great, but what you'll notice is what, again, coming back to this, what you don't see is where the important information is. Most of these people are either single people with no children or they have no families. Now, there are exceptions to this, and it is a growing sector on YouTube where family-based YouTubers are now starting to vlog and coming through, and they're bringing their kids through. They've got young kids. There's the exception. There's very few, like, 40-year-old YouTubers that have teenage children. Again, there will be exceptions, but there's not many. And you start to say that is because, for example, my kids are going to wet themselves laughing. If I suddenly like bring up a camera and start walking around town everywhere, they'll be like, no, fuck off. You ain't doing that. And that's a fact. Okay, so you've got to pick out the clues, of what's occurring. The reason I can deliver these videos almost on a daily basis is because I'm away from the house. I've not got someone walking past me. I've not got one ear to the household to hear what's going on. I don't have distractions. There's no one ringing the gate to kind of for deliveries or whatever. I'm undistracted. Basically, I'm not interrupted. I can do the videos, I can talk freely because I don't have to worry about people listening and go, fuck me, did you really say that, you dickhead? And you can just kind of do that. That's the clue that people kind of forget. And it's the same thing with trading. When you see someone that, clicks a button and, earns whatever, what they don't see is like the years that have gone into the conference prior to that. Or they're so wowed by the figure that they don't go, right, okay, what did you just do there? Let me rewind. And this is a question that I often ask myself is, I wonder how many people go back across my older trading videos and go, right, okay, let's go through this step by step. What was his reasons for entry? Where was his stop? What was his exit points? All of those things are consistent right across the board. Yeah, I'm looking for something with a spike high or a spike low. That's my stop. What's the depth of it? You know, that then sets my stake size, because if it's too big, then I have to reduce my stake size. What's my target areas? I'm looking for target areas. What, at what point am I going to be happy with the trade? What is my day looking like? Do I want an early finish, or am I all right for the day? You know, have I got nothing on, as in terms of schedules, not close. But, you know, what is my schedule like for the day? So can I have the time to sit here and trade away for a couple of hours? There's all clues in those videos. And all I'm doing is I'm literally just kicking those up into the air, ready for you to kind of pick at whichever information you want that's relevant to you and your situation. What I'm never doing is saying, you must do this or else you will not succeed in trading. It's, you know, and that always boggles me in the world of trading education, because that is a thing where people say along and say, you know, don't do that because it's a pile of shit. You know, it's like, you know, it just, it's not even correct, is it? You know, I know there's a trading educator that literally tells people don't trade on the 5-minute time frame because it doesn't work. What he's actually saying is it doesn't work for him. That's it. That's like me saying, don't trade on the weekly time frame because it doesn't work. It's too slow. It's too boring. You've got to wait a week for the next setup, and then there might not even be a setup. And by the time you've taken the trade, your stop's massive and just forget it. You know, it's like, but that's not accurate, is it? Because it does fucking work. It's every time frame works for someone somewhere. Easy. Alrighty. Anyway, that's enough for me. Off the soap pedestal. What do they call it? Soapbox. Get off your soapbox. Anyway, that's it for me. Hope you have a great Monday. I'm going to finish my coffee, and I'll see you on the next video. Until then, take care.